section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to Off the Mark Episode 7 for the week of April 5th through the 9th. I'm your host, Andrew Hughes, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron Hughes. Let's start off the show by discussing some recent news. Biggest news that I think happened all week is that Chris Kanyon, a.k.a. Mortis, has passed away.
Yeah, that was the biggest story of the week. Unfortunately, Chris Kanyon had a... He battled with depression, and he had a lot of other issues going on in his life, too. And he OD'd on some pills. I don't know what they were exactly, but he ended up, committing suicide. So,
yep.
I don't know. I mean, it's unfortunate, because there's been a lot of wrestlers that have, died over the past, 5-10 years, And they've died, senseless ways, and they've died fairly early because he was in his 40s, if I'm correct.
Correct.
So... And I mean, he was a good wrestler too, I mean, I liked him, and I would have liked to see him in TNA. I thought he was great in WCW, the program they had there, but he just did not work well in the WWE, So, I don't know. I mean, what do you think about him, Andy?
I think he just lacked charisma. Like ring work, I thought he was great in the ring. He always had something innovative that he was bringing in, and I really dug that part of it. I mean, usually wrestlers don't want to learn anything. They just learn their move sets and go on. It just seems that he always was learning something new. DDP actually had something talked about him, how he left his job. I don't remember what it was, but he made approximately $65,000 a year on, left his job to do his passion, which was wrestling. And he went in depth about the whole situation. He kept on going to the power plant. Most wrestlers, they went to the power plant, got signed, and then they left. Well, the funny thing is, Chris Kanyon brought in someone you may know named Billy Kidman, an unknown wrestler, and he showed Eric Bischoff the finishing move. Bischoff signed him right away to a developmental deal for only $400 a week, which, if I'm correct, he was only in the developmental deal for 2 months. And then all of a sudden he was in the flock, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I was really excited. It's just interesting hearing why people liked him and stuff that he did behind the scenes. And you're just so he kept on training at the power plant after the fact, because usually he DDP said when a guy got signed, they never went back to the power plant ever unless they had to for some reason. But he always went back every week. And, that's a lot of heart just to take that. And I think if you have heart in this business and you're innovative like he was, you should be able to make it. It's just sad because he lacked the charisma part and. I don't agree with suicide, but I wish that he would have tried, at least one more shot either in TNA or WWE something. And I think he could have made it again. But, it's sad that he's gone, I'm really sad about it. Another thing also that we found out also, and you called me on this, and I couldn't believe it, Chris Daniels is gone from TNA. He's actually in Ring of Honor only.
Yeah, initial reports, and I don't know if things have changed or not the time of our recording, but the initial reports were that people at TNA were surprised, that they were shocked that he appeared in Ring of Honor, and they were just like, well, is he done with us now or what? So, and then they found out that he's actually gone from TNA, which is really unfortunate because I liked him as a wrestler. He was a very good wrestler. He had great moves. Best moonsault ever. Yep. I mean, come on,
Now, do you remember the moonsault that he did he tried to do a moonsault off the top rope in WCW. Remember what happened to him?
No.
He landed directly on his head, directly. He was vertical. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in wrestling to date. He actually could not make the proper rotation. He landed directly on his head. I almost peed myself because I was laughing so hard. It was that funny. And in fact, if you look for it, you can probably find it.
I'll have to YouTube it then.
Yeah, definitely YouTube it. And speaking of TNA also, I can't believe that they're moving to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So they're going to be an hour before Raw now. I can't believe that. I mean, what's your take on this?
I'm actually really happy that they're doing this. I think that that's what they should have done from the start. I think going head-to-head with WWE was not the smartest thing to do. I think that if you get that the wrestling audience hooked in for that first hour, they're going to stay with you at least through that hour match. You know, when you get to that hour mark, they're going to stay with you. And if they stay with you, they're probably going to stay with your program too, you know. Sure, they're going to flip back and forth, you know, but I think it's a smart move. I think it's something that they should have done, you know, from the start.
So. Oh, yeah, day one, they should have been running at 8 o'clock because once Raw starts at 9, you know, you need to have something big happen right before Raw goes on the air, and then people will continue to watch it. And, you know, I'm sorry, but, like, if you're a wrestling fan, you're DVRing it. You know, the 7 to 9, and then, you know, 8 to 10, 15, or whatever the heck it is. But the thing, but of course you got to tape Chuck too. So, and if your wife likes Dancing with the Stars and you're kind of like screwed, like, do I get Chuck or do I get Dancing with the Stars or wrestling? What's more important? And in our household, it's I download Chuck. Anyways, I saw you put this in the show notes and I was surprised about this. Is this confirmed? They're going to do a WCW themed Hall of Fame next year?
That it's initial reports. I mean, you got to realize WrestleMania, 28?
Yes.
27. WrestleMania 27 is a year away, you know. But because it's in Atlanta, Georgia, they're going to have old WCW people there. Mm-hmm. And the initial reports they're saying are it's going to be a WCW-themed event with, you know, like Lex Luger, Goldberg, and possibly if – he's no longer in contract with TNA, they're going to induct Sting into the Hall of Fame.
I think they should do Sting no matter what. I mean, I know that he's never stepped foot in a WWE ring, but the thing is, he'll get conned into it if he makes the Hall of Fame. He'll be in a WWE ring eventually.
You know, I'm not going to lie. Not that like Sting is like an amazing wrestler, but I mean, he is the icon. You know, to be honest, I would actually like to see him in WWE because I would like to see him go into WWE for 1 year, but in his contract it states he never loses a match. I would like to see him face Triple H. I'd like to see him take on The Undertaker.
Hornswoggle?
You know, take – what now?
Hornswoggle.
Yeah. You know, I want to see him take him on. You know, it actually would have been cool to see him taking on Shawn Michaels, you know, but
– yes, you know. Shawn Michaels, Sting. Dude, that would be an awesome match.
Yeah.
That's actually – ooh. Man, dude, I'm just thinking about it right now.
But that's a wish list. That's a wish list. So, yeah. But anyway, let's move on to Raw. Ted DiBiase and Christian for the past 2 weeks have wrestled each other, and so it looks like they're building a feud. What did you think of their match, and do you think that they're going to have a good feud?
Well, I can already tell you how it's going to end. It's going to end with Ted DiBiase winning, but he's going to win in a cheap way, so Christian saves face, but he still puts him over. That's what I think is going to happen, and I think it's great because, see, Christian's one of those guys that even though he's the face, he can still lose, and he still saves face, if that makes sense. So,
yeah.
Like, he's just one of those rare guys, and I think it's great that they are setting it up this way because, okay, so they're going to do a program for maybe one pay-per-view, if not two pay-per-views, and when it's all said and done, Christian moves on to something else. And Ted DiBiase is still going to be the rich spoiled kid, which is I think is great. I think they should have done that from day one. Like, it should have been the rich spoiled kid is what it should have been. But I do like how they basically got him over first and then now made him into that, which is kind of cool. So I think it's going to be an excellent feud, really good feud.
I think so, too. And I'm glad that they're doing that. I just hope that they aren't using it to just elevate Ted DiBiase. I want them to use it to elevate Christian also, because I think he can main event. You know, he did in TNA, he did in ECW. He could do it on SmackDown easily.
Yeah, but I think that's the only way for him to truly main event is that he has to get into a feud with Edge. I think that's the only way to do it. And if they turn,
I agree.
And I think Edge has to be heel in order for this to happen.
I think Christian can be a good heel. I really do. I think the way they do the feud, you know, just to kind of go off a little bit, I think if Christian and Edge feud, you have Christian be the heel and have him be pissed at Edge because you say, oh, you got to go on and win the title, whereas, you know, they didn't like me enough to give me a title shot. They didn't give me Money in the Bank ladder matches, you know, because he'd only been in like two of them, I think.
Right.
You know, you go on and you really like push this, you know, spoiledness, you know, on him, like he or this I deserve better, you know, and I think you could do it that way. And I think it would be, you know, worthwhile. But I don't know, you know. Anyway, let's move on, though, to do you think, you know, Swagger comes out in Raw. He's the new World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up losing to Randy Orton. Good or bad?
Well, they're setting up because they're going to have Orton win a bunch. And then at the pay-per-view, of course, you're going to see Swagger go on top. Because I think that I know what are they doing? They're supposed to do we're going to talk about it later. But I know that they're he's supposed to be another match. But I think they're going to set it up so Orton and him do feud for a little bit, even if it's just for like a couple weeks. But I did think that was stupid to have Orton beat him.
You know, in one way, I think it was stupid. But in another way, I actually agree with him losing. And the reason I agree with him losing is because of this. He won the title, and they really pressed this, that he won the title by being cheap, you know, by, you know, just cashing it in, you know, after Edge beat up Jericho. And so that they say basically that he isn't a worthy champion,
okay,
you know. So I can kind of see why they would do that. At the same time, though, if they want him to main event, if they want him to be a main event heel, they need to let him win matches convincingly, you know. So,
right.
But
David Otunga was turning heel against Cena. I see the point to that. But the thing is, with David Otunga, with him being NXT, I think they're just trying to throw him down. You know, throw him down our throats, and that's—I don't think that makes a heel. And I think he lacks a lot of charisma for some reason. I just don't—I don't care for him.
Yeah, I don't really care for him either. I mean, he's Jennifer Hudson's, you know, fiance,
who?
You know, yeah, he got a lot of heat because I mean, it's your number one baby face, okay? And you have him, you know, screw him over. I thought it looked good. You know, I thought it was done really well. But to be honest, I don't care. At the end of the day, I mean, it doesn't do a whole lot, you know?
Truthfully, I could care less about the feud. I mean, it wasn't even a feud. It was him just being a jerk, and I just didn't see a point to it. When it was all said and done, just did not see a point whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. One thing I will say that Raw was actually not that bad of a show. It wasn't the caliber as it has been, so I don't know what your grade is going to be, but I'm going to have to give this a B-.
I actually was going to say B- or C+. So, yeah, probably B-, I'd say. Because, yeah. I mean, it was good. Not as good as last week's. So.
No, yeah, definitely not as good as last week's.
SmackDown,
on the other hand, was really good. Like,
they're setting up Punk Mysterio hair versus mask match.
Yeah, which good is going to be awesome because, you know, CM Punk either gets his head shaved or Mysterio loses his mask. And the thing is, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Mysterio lost. I just wouldn't be surprised.
The only thing is, I think it was really dumb to have them unmask Kane, because those masks, it's merchandise, you know? And I think with Mysterio in particular, Mysterio I don't think has ever been a heel in WWE. I don't even think he really was one in WCW. It's hard to make him a heel, you know?
Correct.
So that mask, it sells to little kids, you know? I mean, if I'm correct, Andy, I believe that you own a Mysterio mask.
I own
a
Mysterio mask, and I own a Hurricane Helms mask, actually. So, yes, I was one of those idiots who bought one. And I bought my Mysterio mask, if I'm correct, from WCW, if that tells you anything.
So, you know, I mean, Punk is going to lose, but I think it'll be good. So, you know, something else, though, I do want to ask you, what do you think of Drew McIntyre?
Sucks.
I mean, he beat Matt Hardy this week, you know.
Who cares?
Do you think he's even worthy?
No.
No?
He shouldn't be where he's at. And first of all, Matt Hardy should not have a job to him. That was ridiculous. Matt Hardy is not a jobber. And that's what they're turning him into a jobber, which is ridiculous. But I don't care for Drew McIntyre. He's the IC champ. I could care less. They could have the world champion. He could be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and I still wouldn't care about him. I don't think he's good. I think he's piss poor.
Now, somebody else I don't think you care about. What about the Crime Time split? Do you even care about this?
That was stupid. I mean, I know they're what they're trying to do, but the thing is, you know, I truthfully believe that they worked good together, and when you rip those guys apart, I think that you may have get a once you may get a star out of one of them, but the other one's just going to go all downhill because he's a tag teamer for life.
You know, the other thing too is I never liked their gimmick. I mean, you know, and like, and I don't want to get political or anything like that, but to like sit there and really like, you know, say, okay, it's two black wrestlers who are, you know, into stealing and acting like thugs. It's like you're setting a really bad example. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but not to sound like the father, you know, but it was really stupid. I mean, it really
yeah, dude, it is really stupid. And the fact that they let the gimmick go on this long, I was actually impressed because I thought it would have failed right away. But you know, that's all. They were the last of the having the video promos every, you know, leading up 8 weeks till they came on to the scene. I mean, yeah. They haven't done that since, which is kind of weird. Speaking of like video stuff, a Heart Dynasty. By the way, the DVD is really good, highly recommend it. But they are getting a, you know, they're gaining fans now. They weren't before. No one liked them, but now they're starting to get the fans going and. I actually see them doing something big, which is kind of nice. Having a little nice little fraction again, which is kind of neat. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm actually really happy with that. You know, I mean, we talked about it last week, but I mean, I actually really like the Heart Dynasty. I think that they're going to be a really good tag team. And, you know, when they split up, I think that they could both go somewhere, you know? So
all good.
Yeah. Now, what about Edge and Jericho, the main event for the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship? It ended in a double countout,
well,
which is stupid.
Well,
but
it sets up what we thought was going to happen. But I will say, I actually got to see some of the match now. I mean, after watching that match, I was impressed. I couldn't believe how good the match was. And the fact that it went to a double countout, I was like, what? Seriously? That's how you're going to do it? Because all they're setting up for is a triple threat match.
Yeah.
Which I mean, they should have just said it from the get-go it was going to be a triple threat match. All they're doing is filling time now. I mean, we knew this was going to happen, but I didn't realize they would do it by a double count-out.
Yeah, and you know what's going to happen, too. I mean, Jack Swagger's going to win because Edge and Jericho are going to beat the holy hell out of each other, and then Swagger's going to come in and capitalize, you know?
Exactly.
So he's going to still be a, like, know-nothing champion. For another month.
Exactly. And because of that, I actually have to give SmackDown a B minus too.
You know, to be honest, the Punk Mysterio stuff I like. You know, Drew McIntyre, you know, I didn't care for that. Crime Time doesn't care for that. So I mean, I don't know. I'd probably give them a C, a solid C, you know.
Okay.
But I think that there's some improvement, you know. They have good things, you know. I hope they run with it. So
right.
NXT, Daniel Bryanson, he cut a promo and he talked about
Michael Cole.
Does JR does Michael Cole deserve to be in JR's seat?
Which was perfect. That was priceless. And the thing is, when we talked about this before we started recording, I was laughing about it because I forgot that he made fun of Michael Cole really bad because Michael Cole makes fun of him every week. And I'm wondering, what point are they starting to kayfabe? You know what I mean? Like, what? Because you know that Daniel Bryan's getting pissed. And you can tell that, like, there's probably some that is scripted and some that isn't. And I'm wondering what is and what's not scripted now when it comes to those two guys.
You know, I must say, I actually like it. And I think that, you know, for a wrestling fan to go and be like, wow, you know, because the fans were mixed. You know, they cheered and booed him when he said he was the number one, you know, NXT guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is, though, to cut a promo like that to really get the fans behind you. That takes talent, you know. You had a few people who could do it. The Rock, John Cena, you know, two people who could cut promos and really get the fans behind you, even if they were mixed. So I thought it was cool, you know. The one thing I didn't think was cool, though, was how they did a keg race.
First of all, do you think that was, like, scripted as a keg race? Because watching it, I watched it twice. And each time I watched, the first time I watched it, I was like, how is this scripted? You know what I mean? Like, how are they actually doing this properly? Because those were some fast times. And I'm wondering, was it a legit race? Or was it, hey, this is how it's going to work, one of those things?
No, you know, I mean, a lot of times that when they do that, you know, they have, you know, certain times for it. So, but the thing is, though, it's wrestling, you know, and I understand there's a lot of stuff that happens in wrestling that isn't wrestling, but a keg race.
I know. Keg race. That was stupid.
And the winner of it had to face Kane. It's
yeah.
Like,
so how's that? You know, it should be the loser has to face Kane, and then it'll be worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
But Justin Gabriel, by the way, one thing I gotta say is that guy's big. He's like Matt Hardy big, and actually he may be a little bit bigger than Matt Hardy now I think about it, and he can pull off that 450 splash like it's nothing.
Wrestlers in NXT that really like impress me. Daniel Bryan is one. I mean, he stood out from day one. Justin Gabriel, after a couple weeks, though, I mean, he really stood out. And I think that, you know, out of all of them, I think those two are two that I would have move on.
Definitely. So, yeah, they have to move on. But
you know, and wise, I would say, like, you know, I really like the fact that it's NXT versus NXT people.
Yes.
And the only time that you really have anyone in there now, I mean, you had Kane in there, you know, this past week. But I really like that, so I'd give them a B. I think that they're doing much better, and even though that they're losing a lot of fans, I mean, their ratings are going down, I actually think that the show's getting better.
Yeah, I have to give it a solid B, too. I like the direction they're going. I think it's end up going to be – I think NXT is going to be gone after this. I don't think there's going to be a fourth show. I think it's just going to be the three shows from now on. I think what they were trying to do with NXT is starting to fail, but – I'm digging the show as a wrestling fan, and I enjoy it. Every week I've enjoyed it. There hasn't been a week where I'm like, oh, this is so stupid. Everything's bad about it. They've always put at least one or two good matches on there, and they were really good.
I don't know. The first week of NXT was pretty bad.
Okay, it was well, I don't count that because you can't count the first week. It's the series, you know, the season, what do we call it? The series premiere. So, of course, it's not going to be good. It's going to suck. But we're going to talk about something that we haven't talked about in the seven episodes we've done. We're going to talk about WWE Superstars.
One week only.
Because, was it Evan Bourne and Yoshi Tatsu? Is that right?
Yeah.
Had probably the best match I've ever seen. Like, I watched it tonight and wow. Like, I couldn't believe how good the match was. I mean, I'm really impressed on it. In fact, it's so good that they should actually take some stuff off of SmackDown and re-air that match. It was that good. That's how good the match was.
Oh, yeah. They should. The thing is, to be honest, I really think that they should put Evan Bourne and Yoshi Tatsu together on a tag team and have them feud with somebody, and you know, like on Raw or SmackDown. I mean, I said SmackDown would be best for them. But the thing is, though, on SmackDown, I can't think of really any tag teams other than like R-Truth, Morrison, and then the Hart Dynasty, but they're faces, you know?
Yep.
So you don't have Crime Time on there, and on Raw, I can't think of any real tag teams. So
that's
I don't know,
true.
But either way, they should do a tag team together and whatnot. So
speaking of tag teams, our friend Dave, him and his wife actually went to Raw. They were there live because it was in pretty close to where we're from. It was in Moline at the it was known as the Mark. I don't know what they call it now, but that's where the Raw was, and he actually got to see it. He enjoyed the show. He was supposed
to. It's called the Iowa Wireless.
Iowa
Moline
Wireless,
is in Illinois. So.
Yeah, it's a Moline. Yeah, who cares? And you know one thing that you do need to care about? GoDaddy. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Summer section policy for any details. All right, TNA. First of all, we need to talk about Orlando Jordan. Gay. Sorry. Stupid.
He's bisexual, actually. So that's his gimmick. I you know, it's interesting because they tried a gay gimmick one time with Billy and Chuck.
You look so good to me.
They did it with Rico. You know, I don't know. I mean, a bisexual gimmick, I mean, yeah, it's going to get you some press, but it's not going to get you much press because they're displaying him in a negative light, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do I care about this? No. Do I care about Orlando Jordan? No. To be honest, I've never cared for him as a wrestler, you know? So
he lacks lot. He lacks a lot. He's a powerhouse, and he can job. That's what he's good at.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I don't know. I mean, you know, honestly, get rid of him, in my opinion. But you know what? the thing is, though, you know what I don't want to get rid of? Anderson and Angle feud.
Wow. It's like, wow, Karen Angle is engaged, and then Kurt just decides to, hey, I'm going to try and kill myself in a match. You know,
and he came close. He came close.
Yeah, when he went out of the ring. Oh, damn. When I sat there. I actually watched the show. I didn't get to watch the show until last night. And watching it, I'm sitting there on VLC. I'm like, ooh. And then I'm like, click. Ooh, click. Ooh, click. Just, I watched that thing probably 15 times in a row. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Now, I can't believe he survived.
What was he trying to hook his legs on the ropes to, like, you know, where he splits the ropes with his legs and it, you know, looks like he racked himself? Was he trying to do that?
I think so. I think that's what he's trying to do.
Okay, because I couldn't tell if he was trying to do that or fall to the outside and the ropes caught him.
Yeah.
So,
but dude, one thing that ticks me off about TNA is they need to do something about RVD and Hardy. That is, they've done a piss poor job with those two guys. It's horrible. Well, I mean, it just ticks me off watching TNA now because they're not using them properly. They had them come through the crowd and, like, basically try and, you know, mess with the main eventers, and I'm just like, okay, first of all, they should have came out through the crowd. Number one, they should have came, you know, from the entrance away. It's like, who books this crap? Seriously, I want to hold up a sign that says who books this crap because of it, because they're not doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Paul Heyman's ticked about it. I saw his article, and he's right.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up. You know, he was talking about how he thinks that they're using RVD improperly. And to be honest, I really wish that Heyman would come to TNA, but, you know, he's not a big fan of Eric Bischoff, so I don't think that he ever will.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see him there. They actually have been talking about, you know, I mean, this is a little bit of news, but they've been talking about trying to do an ECW stable. You know, like they would have Taz and RVD and Tommy Dreamer and Rhino and a few other. What do you think? I mean, do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I think it's overdone. I think ECW needs to. I think everyone knows what ECW was. Same thing with WCW. I think it just needs to go away, unfortunately. I know that sounds really bad because I'm a huge ECW fan, but at some point you just got to cut the umbilical cord. One of those things. I really miss ECW, but the ECW that was in WWE was not ECW. Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even freaking close.
Oh, yeah. Nowhere near.
But,
nowhere near.
What do I think about TNA this week, though? I got to give it a C-. I didn't think it was a great show. I think that it, you know, it didn't go anywhere for me. I'm not like, oh, great, that was a good show. Besides, the only thing that saved it was Kennedy and, I'm sorry, Mr. Anderson and Angle. That was the only thing that saved it. That's the only thing for me giving it actually an F.
Well, I mean, I thought it was better than that. I mean, I would give it a C, you know. Not a C-, because I thought it was better, you know. So,
but anyway,
you know, you brought up signs, you know, and that's something that we're going to have to talk about in a little bit.
We'll have to talk about that, but I want to talk about what did you watch, WWE or TNA, Swagger promo or the Anderson-Angle ladder match? Definitely the ladder match. Can't go wrong.
Oh, I mean, that's no brainer. Because here's the thing we got to think about. This week, the WWE TNA, it's slightly different because they only went head to head for an hour.
Yes.
You know, so you know, so that was the hour mark for TNA versus the opening for WWE. You're gonna watch the ladder match, you know?
Correct.
Now the half hour mark, we had Sheamus promo or Team 3D versus Motor City Machine Guns.
TNA again.
Main event, they had the women's match. And then they had David Otunga backstage doing a promo.
Uh-huh.
Or they had on TNA, they had the Pope versus Desmond Wolfe. And then at the, you know, the Overrun, they had the women's locked boxes. So what are you going to be watching?
I'm actually going to be watching TNA again.
Yeah. I think, honestly, for that hour, mm-hmm. I'm going to put on TNA. So, I mean, the final verdict, I mean, for this week, for that 1 hour, I got to give it to TNA.
Well, for the 1 hour, yes, TNA. But overall show-wise, for both shows, WWE beat it, I think. But head-to-head, I watched TNA. That's what I would have watched TNA, definitely. There's no way around it. I would have stuck with TNA. So TNA, I think they won again.
Yeah.
So what are they? Was it 4-2? Something like that?
I think they're 3-2. I think we have 3-2.
One thing that I wanted to talk to you about, you know, we have some time about this. Wrestling signs. My favorite one that I saw at WrestleMania, of course, was Batista eats fish sticks, but they had one where It said, even Jesus hates CM Punk, which is hilarious. I'm sorry. But we're going over other funny signs. Aaron, what's your favorite? What do you think some of your favorite signs are that we've seen?
I think that my favorite one that, you know, in the pre-show we were talking about some that I liked. And my absolute favorite one, I think, is Hogan stole my tanning pills.
Oh, gosh.
That's got.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the better ones, dude. I also liked Triple H fears divorce and we've seen enough, which I thought was pretty good. But yeah, dude, I think that's the one thing I love about the fans is when they bring their signs there. I know some people are like, oh, this is stupid. But seriously, when people bring their signs there, I mean, we brought some funny signs like the real Triple H, Hunter has hemorrhoids. Hogan has hemorrhoids. My bad. But when we brought some funny signs there, and that's one thing I love seeing the funny signs on WWE, WCW, ECW, they always had the best signs. And like WrestleMania had some, that fish sticks one still is funny. I'm sorry, but like that still gets me going. But
yeah, I love the signs. I mean, you know, they are kind of an unsung hero because, you know, people don't realize. I mean, there's quite a bit of work that goes into it. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Andy, but there was a Wrestling Secrets Exposed, and they said that the signs were actually made by the promoters. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That's full of crap. I mean, that's only at the indie stuff, though, because indies,
yeah,
do have all signs that they give the people, because people are like, who the heck is Timmy Smith? You know, like, who the heck is that guy? But one thing I want to say, we were talking about this. We want to have someone hold up a sign that says OTM or something like that to off the mark. If someone can do that and get on camera with it, I don't know what we'll do, but we'll think of something really cool. We can even put them on the show for a little bit.
Yeah, we'll do something really awesome for that person because, I mean, that would be pretty cool. If you had a sign that said off the mark, like 316 or OTM 316, something like that, you know? Yeah. I don't know. That would be cool, you know?
Yeah, and then but, you know, email us and then say when it happened, and we'll definitely, if we see it, more than anything, we'll give you a call and throw you on the show. If you want to leave a voicemail, we'll throw it on there too. I mean, we'll do something for you. I don't know what, but that is pretty cool.
Yeah. No, and you know, I mean, to get back to the signs for just a second, though, I mean, I really think that now the signs have kind of gone downhill just because, you know, I mean, you don't have quite the competition nearly as much. So you don't have in WCW, WWF signs, you know,
right.
Or in WWF, you had anti-WCW, you know, and everything. And now it's just like, I like Cena or Cena's my homeboy. You know, you don't have nearly like the fish stick sign. Honestly, like that was the best sign I've seen in WWE in a long time.
Yes, definitely a long time. So I think that us as wrestling fans, and I think we need to, if you go to a wrestling event, come up with creative signs. And on that note,
please do so.
On that note, we're going to go ahead and cut the show a little short or a little long, depending on how you look at it. But first of all, Aaron, I want to say thank you for coming on the show. We're doing this really, really late at night, and I just want to say thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, not a problem.
And
thanks for staying up with me.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, I want to say thanks to all of our friends that listen to the show. And, of course, I got to say give mad props to Section 86 for hosting the show and then A6 Productions for all the editing they do. And if you want to hear anything about us, just check us out at twitter.com/offthemark86. And we tweet a lot of stuff out. If any breaking news happens, we tweet it out. Anyways, until next time, I'm tagging out.